Acts chapter 16, the book of Acts and chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 11 through 15, and out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city by the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women gathered there. A God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. You may be seated. Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses in chapter 16. Paul and Barnabas had taken different routes and different partners with them, retracing and going to the places where Paul and Barnabas had preached the gospel and established churches. Paul took Silas with him, and they went north over land back to Lystra and Derbe. Barnabas took his cousin John Mark, and they sailed off for the island of Cyprus, going and ministering in the churches and encouraging, as Paul said, those that had believed. And then Paul and Silas continue. We don't hear any more about Barnabas in the book of Acts. We don't hear any more about Peter either. That doesn't mean God's done with them. It just means the book of Acts is following the ministry of Paul. Paul and Silas, they go up and they're trying to go in to minister in Asia. The churches in Asia, that's modern-day Turkey. And if you look in the book of Revelation, the seven churches in Revelation are all in this area. It's not that no one was going there and the message didn't get proclaimed. It got proclaimed. It said God had a different plan for Paul and Silas. He had a different place for them to go. And that's true for us too. Sometimes we might think it might be a good idea to go and serve somewhere. Like, you know, if my wife had her choice, we would be down on the beach in Florida. And, you know, there's people that need the Lord on the beach and the white beaches with clear water down in Florida. But God didn't call us there. I grew up there. Lana grew up where there's white-covered mountains in Idaho. I grew up in Florida. But God didn't call us there. We're here in Texas. That's where God has called us to. But God has taken us, even within that place, to different areas. I'm now in elementary school dealing with young children that need a foundation for what's right and what's wrong. And you can see, if you ever want to see that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, just go to a pre-K class and you'll see. Or just go look at some of your grandkids and see. You know, you don't teach them that. Their parents didn't teach them. It's just a child is self-centered. You don't have to teach a child to steal. You say, those cookies are for after supper. You go out of the room, you come back, the cookie's gone, and there's chocolate all over the mouth of the child. Did you teach the child to lie? No. Did you teach the child to steal? No. That's part of the sin nature. And we all have a sin nature. That's what we inherit from Adam, that nature to do what we think is right. Well, Paul and Silas, they're trying to go over into Asia. Can't go that way, so they're cutting along the edge. It doesn't mean they couldn't go through it. They just hadn't had an opportunity to preach. And so they say, well, maybe we can go up north into Bithynia. They can't go there either. And then they get this midnight vision. Paul gets a vision of a man from Macedonia. Come over here and preach to us. That's why I asked Tommy to put that song in, Send the Light. Because the world needs the light of Jesus Christ. We are the reflectors to reflect God's light, just like the moon. Yesterday was the full moon. The moon has no light of its own. It only reflects the S-U-N. We as Christians are to reflect the S-O-N. Let your light shine before men, that they see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. We are to be reflecting of Jesus Christ's life to the world. And so that song, Send the Light, Philippi, Macedonia, was a dark place. And they needed the light of the gospel. There are dark places in our world today. As Lana was mentioning about the life chain, I heard a commercial this morning, said only 11% of the people in Texas think abortion is wrong. Now, I think the person that was surveying that is wrong with his, but there are a lot of people that haven't thought about it. We need to take a stand for what God says is right and wrong. There, in that news clip that I was watching too, four people were murdered last night in Houston. Their lives are just as valuable as anyone else. We need to pray about the violence in our society. And the solution basis on the foundation of a new life in Jesus Christ. Another news article I saw was about, is your school safe? Until you have the foundation of Jesus Christ being the source of what's right and wrong, nothing's going to be safe in our society. In London, handguns are banned. There's an increase in murder by knives, so now they're going to ban knives in London. It's not the tool, it's the person with a sinful heart that causes the problems. And so the light was needed in Macedonia. So what did Paul and Silas do? I'd rather go down to the beach down in southern Greece. What do you mean, sending me up north? No, that's not what Paul and Silas did. They immediately got on a boat from Troas. Troas was where they were, where he had the vision. And just as an aside, verse 10, the pronoun gets changed from they to we. Now, that's not this modern day change of the pronouns. It's Luke joined the group. Now, we're going to see through the book of Acts, we went here. We did this instead of Paul, he went there, or Paul and Silas, they went there. The Luke that wrote down the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke is now in the party. So from Troas, we sailed straight to Macedonia. We went the first day to this island, Samothrace. It's about not quite halfway to Macedonia. And the next day, on to Neapolis. That's the port in Macedonia. Now, they had good sailing. It said they went before the wind. That means the wind was blowing them along. One day to the island, one day to Neapolis. In later, when they're coming back, it takes 5 days to retrace that same journey they did in two. So the wind was with them. And then they go from the port of Neapolis, 10 miles north, up to Philippi. Philippi, if you've read your Bible and seen this book called Philippians, that means the book to the people that live in Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony. And a Roman colony has one of three purposes. First, it's a city set up on the frontier to be a protective area for the Roman Empire. Second, it could be one to provide means. You get rid of the poor people in Rome and you go put them in a city out in the country. Let them start a new city. That will help solve the poor problem in Rome. Or third, it's established as a place for retired veterans. They've served their time in the military. We got a city for you to live in. Now, a Roman colony had a special status. It's like an embassy in the U.S. today, or a U.S. embassy anywhere in the world. An embassy of another country is considered part of that country, even though it's somewhere else. So in Washington, D.C., if you go to the French embassy, that piece of land where the French embassy is considered part of France. If you go to France, to the U.S. embassy, that little piece of ground where the U.S. embassy is considered part of U.S. territory. A colony was considered part of Roman territory. It was part of Rome. It's just a little ways away. So they had special status. They were considered Roman citizens, if you're a citizen of that colony. They were prohibited from someone that's a citizen of that colony, a Roman citizen, of being scourged. That's what happened to Jesus before he was crucified. They took the cat of nine tails and turned his back into what looked like hamburger meat, being beaten. You had freedom from arrest, except for extreme circumstances. And you had special benefits. You could appeal the decision made locally to the emperor of Rome. Now, we're going to see all these three come into play a little bit later because Paul is a Roman citizen. Here in Philippi, it's named after Philip II of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. So that's not going to be on the test. You don't need to know. But if you want to know where it came from, there it's historically. And Paul and Silas, it said, stayed there for several days. Now, Paul's strategy, his method when he went into a new community, he first preached the gospel to the Jewish people and the Jewish converts. Well, there's no synagogue in this town. He stays in the community waiting for the Sabbath day to come. There's not much Jewish influence because there would be a synagogue. If there are 10 Jewish men that are heads of households, there's going to be a synagogue. 10 Jewish men tithing 10%, that will support a rabbi. So if there's 10 Jewish men in the city, there should be a synagogue. It tells us there was a small Jewish presence there. And Paul and Silas went down outside the city gate and near the river to a place where they expected people that were worshiping God, because that would be where, if you didn't have a synagogue, go out a little place, open air, and worship God there. And they found this woman named Lydia. Lydia, it says, was a God-fearing woman. That's a term also used of Cornelius, whom Peter went mentioned. He doesn't have a Jewish background, but he fears the true God. He is one that believes in the one and only true God. And she's a dealer in purple cloth. You know, what's the big deal with that? Well, you can get purple everywhere today. But if you had purple then, it's one of two places you get it. There's a little sea snail, and you get it from the vein in its neck. Imagine how many sea snails you got to get their purple blood from to get color any kind of cloth. Or there's a certain root that gives you a different color of purple. It is very expensive to make. She is from the city called Thyatira that is famous for making colored cloth, of especially the purple. So she dealt with something very expensive. Showed that she was a little well off, better off. We see later that the church meets in her house, so she's well off enough to have a community, a building in the community big enough to house a church, and also big enough that she can put up four missionaries. You got four. You got Paul, Silas, Luke, and they picked up Timothy in Lydia. And so the city, not the woman, where they were earlier. So they're there beside the river. And it says she was listening. There are a lot of people that hear things but aren't listening to them, especially what God says. Today, 21 years ago, two planes crashed into two buildings in New York City. Another one into the Pentagon. I remember where I was, back in the fellowship hall. That's where we were living 21 years ago. People were scared. Our nation is under attack. What do we do? We're in danger. And what do people do? They turn to God because they were scared. I'm just pretending you weren't there was basically the attitude. And there were signs all over. Marquees suddenly changed to God bless America. Did see one say, why should God bless America? People had been thumbing their nose at God, ignoring what he said. They had been hearing, but they weren't listening. There is a judgment day that's coming. Jesus Christ came the first time to die on the cross, to pay the debt of our sin. He's coming back the next time to judge people. There will be a judge. A judgment day where there's only two verdicts. Heaven or hell. Last Sunday, I was talking about being saved, and Lana was sharing something with me that she saw on one of the threads that she's on, the pastor's wife thread, was that it? Well, one of the other ones. And said, well, the child knows about salvation because Jesus saves. They knew that. But they asked, well, what does he save from? Well, he saves from raccoons, snapping turtles, and sharks. Understood that Jesus is the one that saves, but sometimes we fall a little short of understanding what we're saved from. And that's for us as adults as well. Do we tell people what Jesus saves us from? He doesn't save us from financial trouble. He doesn't save us from job trouble. He doesn't save us from people kicking us when we're telling them not to bite other students. He doesn't save us from computer problems. He doesn't save us from all that. He saves us from the fires of hell. There is a judgment day coming. And if you do not have the debt of your sin paid by the blood of Jesus, and interesting, here's a little side, your sin is like scarlet. That's referring to this purple dye. It's permanent. It doesn't come out. Your sin doesn't come out except by the blood of Jesus cleansing it. If there is not a payment for your sin debt, the only verdict that God is going to give is to hell, because you've rejected someone else's payment. My payment, God will say, of your sin debt. But if we have accepted Jesus' payment of our sin debt, we hear something we don't deserve to hear. Enter into heaven. There's two places you can go. If you want to use it as a joke, there's smoking and non-smoking section. The flames of hell never go out. The worm never dies. And there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I did a study on that gnashing of teeth. It's something you do when you're mad. It's like, argh! They're mad at God for sending them to hell and they don't think they deserve it. All through eternity, mad at God in the fires of hell where there's total darkness. And I understood this because in the military, we go through firefighting training. I don't know if they do it in the other branches, but in the Navy, we do. In our firefighting training, we have our hand on the shoulder of the person in front of us as they walk through the fire. There's a catwalk. When we get in the building, it's total black. You can feel the heat of the fire all around you, but the smoke is so thick you cannot see. You wouldn't know somebody was in front of you unless you had your hand on them. And then you get to the doorway and it's about here in bright daylight before you realize you see the light of the daylight. I know what it's like to be in total darkness and feel the flames all around. There is no hope when you're in hell. That firefighting school gave me a little indication of how it can be totally black and totally on fire at the same time. And God doesn't want to send anybody there. He is patient with everyone, giving us a chance to repent. But he's not going to force anybody to go into heaven. But he's not going to let people go into heaven whose sin is not forgiven. Lydia was looking, was listening to Paul, and God opened her heart. God is the one that opens our hearts. He is the one that shows us the truth, that convicts us. We're just to proclaim the message, but God opens the heart. Our job, like Paul's, is to tell people there's a light, there's forgiveness. Lydia accepted the message and she believed. It says her and her whole household were baptized. That doesn't mean she believes and everybody else gets saved just because she believes. No. Everyone that accepted the message believed and was baptized. Later on, we'll see this, matter of fact, in Wednesday's message as we look at the jailer in the same city of Philippi. God's the one that opens the hearts. Our job is to tell. God has called us to proclaim the message at different places. And then Lydia said, if you see my faith, come and stay at my house. When we were in Minnesota, one of the leaders there had a program called Operation Lydia. We would go through a community without a church and just be walking, praying that God would direct us to that person with the heart of Lydia that would open the door for the gospel to be proclaimed in that community. There are people that God has ready. There are Lydias everywhere. You are the Paul, the Silas, the Luke, the Timothy. God has not called you to hold the pew down. He's got gravity for that. And you'll see that in just a minute when I ask you to stand. You're not going to have to push the pew back down. It's going to stay on the ground by itself. But as we stand for our closing prayer, let's remember that we are to go and tell other people. Because God has said to us, just like he said to Paul, come over here. Our over here is not necessarily go to Greece, which is where Philippi was. It was called Macedonia then. He might have called somebody to go to Greece, you know. Yeah. You might be a missionary going to Italy or Sicily. You know, if you want a free house, Actually, no, the houses are $10,000. You get a house for $10,000 in certain villages in Italy if you just go and move there. All their people are moving out and going to the big cities. That there are city little villages that will give you a house for next to nothing if you'll move there. Now, you might have to learn Italian, but that's okay. But you can be a missionary there, getting closer to Rome. Some of us, God has called us to be missionaries in Montgomery County and different places in Montgomery County, but he has called no one to say nothing. We are to proclaim the truth. Now, I gave you something earlier, a little booklet, Christ and Your Problems. When you're facing problems, remember that God is always there. We have a message of hope that the world desperately needs to hear. You're going to be hearing a lot of commercials. Vote for so-and-so, the only hope for Texas. No, Jesus is the only hope for Texas. We need to be telling them, everyone, Jesus is the most important name you need to know. And then what they need to do with Jesus. We can't force them to accept Jesus' forgiveness of their sin. But we can tell them what the consequences are if they don't. There is a judgment day coming. We need to tell. You sang the song, Send the Light. The light needs to be shed to the world around us. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank You that You love us so much that You came to part of Your creation. You died on the cross for us, and Your blood will cleanse us of all our sin debt. Even though our sins be like scarlet, You'll make them as white as snow. Your blood is the blood, the only thing that will cleanse us and move us from a destiny heading to hell to a future in heaven. Let us go and share with others as You'd pray in our situation. In Jesus' name.